This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Tim Mize.
How about that, David? I'm back.
It's like, I don't know. Is it the end of the world?
I hope not. But, you know, the last year sure felt like it at times, hadn't it?
Sure. Or at least the pause of the world.
Yeah, you're exactly right. The world has been on pause for approaching a year now.
Yeah. Now we're in slow play.
And we're just happy to have play of any kind of basketball across the state. And it is a strange season, obviously. And now we got some weather coming into the equation today. So we'll see how that winds up affecting all the action slated for today. We're scheduled to have boys high school basketball on the radio this afternoon. North Mac at Southwestern. Varsity tip right around 4:30. Gary Boker will have the call live on FM 106 and streaming at WSMIRadio.com. Coming up on the program today, we're going to be joined by Kyle Hirschman of the Journal News momentarily. Lincolnwood head coach Matt Milberg at around 9:15. Toppers girls coach Brett Teakin at 9:30. Gillespie girls coach Kevin Gray at 9:45. Last night, an absolute thriller in Nokomis as Nokomis knocked off Lincolnwood in overtime 38-36. Heck of a ball game. Kay Hirsch was there in the flesh last night. And Kyle, good morning, sir. How you doing today?
Good. How are you, Tim?
Hey, I'm all right. Heater in your house working?
What's that?
Heater in the house working okay?
Yeah. We're good. We built a small fire in the basement. So.
Excellent. Very smart. Kyle, last night, of course, the Lincolnwood-Nokomis game, just fantastic stuff and a low-scoring game. So when Lincolnwood had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter, I really didn't think Nokomis was going to be able to come back, but they sure did.
Yeah, and talking to Coach DeWerf after that, you know, he said that, you know, he just kind of told his guys that you either step up and go a little harder and add some pressure to them, or you end up losing by 12 or 15. And Nokomis definitely stepped up at the end.
And I think the demise of the Nokomis basketball program might have been a little overstated. You know, Steve Kimbrough retired, but Nokomis looks just fine under Dan DeWerf. And I'm telling you, Kyle, I was impressed with their underclassmen last night. They got looks like a talented group of freshmen and sophomores in the program. So Nokomis is going nowhere.
Yeah, and those guys had to step up due to some absences on the roster. Evan Herbstreit, who's leading scorer from last year, is out for a few games with a knee injury. So, you know, for them, it was the next guy up. And Nolan Himes hit a big and one to, I believe, tie it at 32. And some of those, I mean, those kids did a really good job.
And, you know, for Lincolnwood, that's one of those, I'm sure that was a long bus ride back on the blacktop last night because they let it slip away from them.
Yeah, and foul trouble, you know, definitely hurt them. I mean, they had three kids with three fouls in the first half, and you know, lost Cole Sidwell with about 2 minutes left, so he was out the entire overtime period, and they had to kind of play a little tentative. You know, they had some opportunities, but. You know, they're a very scrappy team. They try, you know, they make sure to keep it close. You know, you never really want to count them out. And, you know, it's unfortunate this second game in a row, they had a close game against Tri-City as well. And, it's unfortunate they lost those close games, but, they'll probably be better for it.
Absolutely. Now, you know, in the short term, it's frustrating, but you're exactly right. In the long term, they will learn from it and to grow. And, you know, as we look at boys basketball here in Montgomery County in the early stages, what a wonderful start for the Hilltoppers.
Yeah, they've done really well. They have a lot of ways to hurt you. You know, Jace Teakin and Drake Vogel at the guards, and Gavin Matush and Blaise Helton forwards, and Will Christian mixed in there too. So, you know, they've had a lot of different options. They can hit some threes. They can score underneath a little bit, and they've played extremely well. That Greenville game was a very good example of that, because Greenville's always tough for them.
And, you know, Joe Vanzo mentioned last week, you know, normally their schedule in a regular year different at the start. So different opponents early. But to get that success at the start of the year, I think for this Topper team, very important to just get those good vibes of winning.
Yeah, absolutely. And they had not gone 3-0 since the 2000-2001 season. I have not checked to see when the last time they went 4-0 was, but it's possibly a couple years earlier with
Toll and Kasten,
Tim Toll and Luke Kasten and those guys. So, you know, it's been a great start for them. You know, it's been it's good momentum for the program. And the thing about this season, too, is, you know, with them, they're able – I mean, you have so many games so close together, they're able to just ride that momentum. You know, for a team like Lincolnwood that's lost a couple close ones, you have another game today, so you don't have the choice to commiserate about the loss. You know, you got to get back out there and do it. So it's good. It's good for both things, I think.
And of course, this year you just hope that you can avoid COVID quarantines and whatnot long enough to get some semblance of a year in. We've seen some games canceled, some players individually quarantined, but unfortunately for Litchfield, they were put in the barn before they ever were let out. Very unfortunate the Purple Panthers were in quarantine at the very start of the year.
Yeah, and it seems, you know, it's only been 2 weeks, but it seems like it's been forever.
It does.
And I'm sure it seems even longer for those kids and for Coach Logan and Coach Corso over at Litchfield. You know, I know Drew said that they had a young team on the boys' side, and we're looking forward to, you know, building some things and getting, you know, they graduated quite a few kids from last year, you know, and like I said, they were looking forward to starting a new chapter, and just to have that kind of delayed even further, it's got to be tough on them.
And the plan, I guess, is for Litchfield to hopefully get back on the 19th of February, and we'll see how many games they're able to jam in. But they're going to have a problem or an issue. They're going to be behind all these other teams who've been playing for 2 weeks because you weren't in shape at the start of this. There's no way you're going to be in shape coming out of this.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for them. But you know, I think – you know, both coaches will have their teams ready, or as ready as they can be. You know, hopefully, you know, it's a good transition, a good, you know, this year is just such a weird year anyway. Just to be on the court at all is probably a blessing for some of these kids. So, hopefully that will be the case at Litchfield too.
On the girls' side in Montgomery County, Nokomis off to a very nice start. Mentioned the underclassmen talent on the boys' side. The girls' side, the same thing. They've been waiting for this freshman and sophomore group to arrive for a while, and they're here.
Yeah, they got a good mix of inside and outside with Audrey Sobel and Natalie Engelman and Haley Engelman and they can hit some threes. They can torch you inside. You know, they got a good upperclassman core too with Kristen Stouter, who was injured for most of the season last year, and has come back. You know, smart player. Mia Fesser, another smart player, and Jamie Johnson. So they got three seniors that definitely contribute, and then they have just that core group of sophomores that really can do some impressive things. You know. That Sobel name has had some success.
I've heard of that.
At Nokomis. So, you know, I think she is going to be a big scorer for them. But, you know, I mean, they have good players up and down their bench. So, you know, I think it'll be a good experience for them. And if everybody buys in and they can do some really good things down the road.
And Mia Fesser will be just fine as long as she doesn't listen to Carl Ray.
No, that's always a good idea.
That's right. That's always a good place to start. Just don't listen to Carl Ray. We kid, of course, Carl. We love you. And, you know, when I think about the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, their start to the season reminded me of a major league team, a week-long road trip to begin the year, four straight road games for the Toppers, and they come out 2-2. But Hirsch, they could have easily been 4-0.
Yeah, absolutely. They had some decent chances at the end on both of those games, and you know, I was talking to Coach Deacon, and I said, usually you can say that you're battle tested by the end of the season, but without a out of regional, you know, it almost seems cruel to throw all this at them to start off with, but no, they're going to be a good team this year. They picked up a big win over Staunton last night, so their last two games have been, you know, after having two games decided by, you know, 2 or 3 points, they've put some distance between them and their opponents the last two nights against Staunton and Auburn. So, you were at the Auburn game, you know, as I was, and their offensive rebounding with Nakia Harston and Claire Tester is just amazing.
In case you read my mind a little bit there, Nakia Harston has become one of my favorite players to watch. She plays so hard all the time. Like, she never stops. It's impressive.
Yeah, it's kind of a floor burn you type thing. I mean, just gets after it all the time. And you know, Coach Deacon was joking after the game. He said sometimes their best offensive play is a missed shot. you know, I think she had 8 rebounds in the first quarter, and probably half of those were offensive rebounds. Now, granted, some of them were on her own shots.
Sure.
But, you know, she also makes a pretty good share of it, too. So,
you know, Kasia, I don't keep track of rebounds, but I always just assume as soon as she has 10 points, she's got a double-double.
Yeah. It's a good assumption, I think, on your part. You know, and the thing is, too, you know, whenever teams have to focus on boxing out Nakia and Claire, you know, some of those guards, you know, Vanessa Compton and Lainey Rupert and Haley Major are able to kind of swoop in there and grab some rebounds as well. So, you know, they can hit from three also, those guards. So they got a nice mix of a team, and it'll be interesting to see how well they do this season.
Kyle Horschman of the Journal News, thank you for a few minutes of your time. Are you venturing out to a ball game today?
Yeah, I'll probably run over to Lincolnwood for a while.
I drive. It's a little cold.
Lincolnwood girls are having their senior, well, almost afternoon, not really a senior night, but a senior morning. So we'll probably run over there. You know, it's tempting to huddle up and watch it on the stream that most of these schools have, but there's nothing like being there in person.
Well, that's exactly right. Kares, thank you for a few minutes of your time, sir, and we'll see you down the line.
Sounds good, Tim. Thanks, bud.
Kyle Horschman of the Journal News here on Sports Saturday. We're going to take a break. On the other side, we will talk with Lincolnwood boys head coach Matt Milberg. We still got Hillsboro girls coach Brett Teakin and Gillespie girls coach Kevin Gray on the way when Sports Saturday continues.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Going to catch up with Lincolnwood head coach Matt Milberg here in a moment. Let's run down some scores from last night. Told you Nokomis beat Lincolnwood in overtime 38-36. Hillsboro down Staunton 63-38. Bunker Hill beat Carlinville 51-42. Jersey topped Gillespie 67-43. Pleasant Plains over North Mac 53-34. Auburn beat Marrero Forsyth 64-50. Greenville over Alton Marquette 37-21. Comets held Marquette to one field goal in the second half. Williamsville beat Illini Central 62-36, and West Central over Greenfield Northwestern 50-25. Girls basketball last night, Southwestern beat Calhoun 74-35. Hillsboro over Staunton 47-29. Carlinville topped South Fork 56-25. Jersey beat Gillespie 57-51. And Roxana over Muscoota 53-39. Joining us on the phone right now is Lincolnwood Lancers head coach Matt Milberg. And Matt, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning. And I would ask how you're doing, but after the game last night, I would imagine you were a little frustrated on the bus ride home.
Yeah, you know, that blacktop, you know, gets feeling every bump on the road and every chill in the wintertime whenever you come that way from losing. Last year, we were fortunate to get a win there, and it was a lot different. But this year, we we went to war. That's for sure. Yeah. Our boys battled, but we came up short.
And, Matt, just from my perspective, the way I saw it, it looked to me like your offense lost a little bit of its aggressiveness as that fourth quarter was wearing on. You had the 10-point lead, and it looked to me like the offense wasn't as aggressive from that point forward.
That's absolutely the truth. We had six guys with four fouls, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, Sidwell has fouled out. In the timeouts that were taken, and we told the boys to still be aggressive to the hole, get to the foul line, hit open layups. We missed some layups, and we missed three free throws in the fourth quarter. And we had some crucial turnovers. Obviously, credit McComas, Coach DeWerf. I coached with him up there in Pawnee under him. I knew they weren't going to give up, and he applied a little bit more pressure on us, which we told the boys was going to happen. And that's the outcome that was the story of the game.
And momentum, it's so fickle. I mean, you guys had the momentum for really 3.5 quarters. But, man, once you lose that momentum, it is really hard to get it back.
Well, basketball is a game of runs, mm-hmm. and momentum swings. And we didn't have it. The lead at halftime, we came out and had a 9-point or so third quarter, hit three threes, and they only held them to three points total, and our defense was doing a pretty dang good job, I thought. The boys were playing hard, scrapping, and, in the fourth quarter, it just kind of failed away, and our last two games, we've had times where we've played really well, and we've had quarters where we've played really bad. And, like I said, we got guards playing post spots. We got posts playing guard spots, and we're trying to find where we're at. Like a lot of people think that, we're going to be fine. It's just we got to get a feel for where we're at and what kind of family we got going on right now.
And, I think since you've been the head coach of Lincolnwood, that pressure man-to-man defense, that's kind of been the calling card of the program. And that was on display last night, even in the JV game. But when that is your identity, you're going to have a lot more success than not.
Yeah, that puts us in as a 1A school in this area, we have to do that to compete against some of these bigger schools and in postseason. I know it's a lot of work, and the boys, have to put a lot of work into it and believe in the program and believe in it. And we got guys year in and year out that do that. Our best offense is our defense, and getting steals in the open floor and finishing. We missed a couple of those layups, those crips that maybe, in a regular season, against McComas in January, we finished those. Instead, we haven't had the reps that we probably should have, and we missed some. So you're exactly right about that.
Talk with Matt Milberg, the Lincolnwood head coach. And I was impressed with the energy of your bench, with no fans in the stands, the totally different atmosphere in the gym. You have to create your own energy. And I was impressed with your bench. It started in the JV game all the way through the varsity game. They were supplying energy to the kids on the floor.
I was impressed with you. We did it the other day. We played at home Saturday and Tuesday. They did it then. I told them, that was our first road game. I told them that they were on an island, that we were the only ones there cheering for us.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else was at home, and, we couldn't hear them through the TV screen. So they were going to have to be loud, and we got a good group of guys that know their roles, and I think that's the biggest important factor with a good program and a good team is knowing your roles. Not everybody can be the leading scorer. Not everybody can be the biggest shot blocker. Nobody, so mm-hmm. we need guys with roles to do what they can do to help our team win.
And, Matt, you got a group of seniors that has put so much into this program over their time in high school. So this season they get to play, which is great, but it's not going to be, obviously, the normal experience that they would have. So what has been your message specifically to your senior group about this season?
Well, as of recently, it hasn't went our way. We're sitting 1-2. We very well could be 3-0, and they could quit. but I know that they're not going to. The amazing thing that recently we've seen is, you know, we voted for captains, and every one of those seniors received over 5 votes for captains. Hmm. So those younger guys believe in every single one of them. I haven't seen that in all the years I've been coaching here, to have that many votes for, we have the 4 seniors. And so the younger guys are looking up to them guys. So every one of those seniors, too, have a different role on the team. We got a good rebounder. We got a good 3-point shooter. We got a good defender. We got a good offensive post player. And they're all 4 of them have different roles, and every one of them freshman kids are looking up to them.
And that, I mean, that's how you build a program right there, the younger kids learning from the older kids. But the older kids have to be willing to teach the younger kids as well.
They've done a great job at practice. You know, one of the biggest things is, you know, if I stop a drill, I'm talking to a kid or something, there's 4 other seniors and maybe a junior or so grabbing the other one over the arm, telling them what I want and how we do it and how our assistant coaches, you know, believe in our program and what we're doing. And that's a good feeling whenever I look over to the sideline and seeing those older guys wrap those other guys by the arm.
And I was impressed with one of your young sophomores, Braden Whale, and he looks like he's got a pretty bright future in a Lancer uniform.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's a weird year, too, with this COVID thing and not having a lot of time to develop, you know, really what we want, because he's our 4 general out there right now. I've had Sean Goble for the past 3 years, and you get that, you know, get that coach on the floor, and all of a sudden Sean's graduated and he's not on the floor anymore, and you're trying to, you know, have this younger guy take the lead, and he's done a great job. Happy with what we see. He's got, you know, 2 more years after this year, and we're looking, you know, I think with Kyle's article he had in the decade team, I think he can be an all-decade player for this county.
Nice. And I want to get out here on a much lighter note. I should have mentioned this to Kay Harris when we were talking to him earlier. I forgot. But, you know, he did that rock, paper, scissor tournament during the COVID thing when everything was shut down. I think he needs to get the best COVID beard in the county working. Because I'm telling you, Matt, you and Brett Teakin could go head-to-head. You got some good COVID beards working, my friend.
Oh, you shouldn't have put that on the radio, because that goes against all my beliefs in the program and keeping that high and clean. And, you know, we just kind of rolling with it this year. You know, there's so many rules in school. There's so many rules in the communities of what we got to do. And we're just kind of rolling with it here in Lincolnwood this year. You know, I made sure to put it in our rules that, you know, the rules will return next year. So, you know, we're just happy the kids are out.
That's right.
You know, none of us have been through this before, you know, wearing masks and having to practice 2 hours with a mask on and then going and playing your butts off on a Friday night when it's -5 outside with a mask on. You know, these kids haven't played sports. Getting them back into a routine is more important than whether or not they, you know, have hair over the years, I guess you say. But, I made sure to let the freshman kids and incoming kids know that that this wasn't going to be the norm.
They'll have a rude awakening next year, that's for sure. Matt Milberg, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. And is your game still on today as of now?
As of now, yeah. We're scheduled to play North Korea this afternoon.
Okay. Sounds good. Good luck, sir.
Thanks for your time.
All right. That's Matt Milberg, the head coach of the Lincolnwood Lancers. And, David, we have just been informed here the North Mac Southwestern games have been canceled for today. So no boys basketball today. North Mac at Southwestern has been canceled. So that broadcast for today is off because of the weather. We're going to get Brett Teakin on the phone here momentarily to talk some Lady Toppers basketball here on this nasty Saturday morning. And all cancellations as we have them are on the website right now, WSMIRadio.com. And I think we'll have David maybe run down the cancellation list at the weather check at 9:45. But the North Mac Southwestern games, that was going to be girls varsity, boys JV, boys varsity, all canceled for today in Piesaw. And I have a feeling that's not going to be the only one that suffers that fate here today. Now, scheduled for today, you heard Lincolnwood hosting North Green. Calhoun scheduled to entertain Nokomis. Auburn at South County. Vandalia hosting Altamont. But again, we will see if Mother Nature allows these games to get played today. The Toppers have a day off after quite the week on the road. Hillsboro had a game Monday night in Rochester, a game Wednesday night in Greenville, a game Thursday night in Auburn, a game last night in Staunton. And Teak, that's quite the trip. You're like one of those Major League Baseball teams that has the week-long road trip to start the year.
Yeah, no kidding. I told Duffy I didn't know what I did to him, but he gave me a rough start.
I tell you what, Teak, you went 2-2, but you are a couple of shots away from coming out of that 4-0.
Yeah, that Rochester game, you were there. It was a battle back and forth, and when you go to see JR's team, it's going to be a tough-nosed defense and really tough, and coming out of the chute with that one. Both teams had quite a few turnovers, and the shooting percentages weren't that great, which we kind of expected, and it was just a battle. And then going to Greenville and see kind of completely different style of game. You go from a tough-nosed man-to-man to a 2-3, and you've had a week of practice. It's kind of hard to really prepare for both very well.
And I heard JR mention to you after the game, he said 50 is hard to guard. And that is so true. And Nakia Harston has become one of my favorite players to watch simply because of her motor.
Yeah, she, her and Claire, their sophomore year, really stepped in and helped a very guard-oriented team. And that was one of the things that I remember talking a lot about them, is both of them just really go. And Nakia is very active in the post and quick in the post and strong. And she's tough to guard in there.
And I'm not going to say that you guys wouldn't have made it to state that year, because, I mean, Sammy Matouche is Sammy Matouche. But Tester and Harston, they had a huge role on that team, and then they have had to change their roles in the last 2 years.
Yeah, we've really gone from being completely different teams. Their sophomore year, they were very much role players and just did the little things, the rebounding, the post defense, the kicking out to our guards to shoot. And now last year and this year, they've kind of become the focus of our offense, and we do a lot of high-low and double post things, and they've been kind of the scoring for our team the last 2 years.
And the great thing about both Claire and Nakia is they still do all the things, the little things they were doing their sophomore year, but they have just added that to their expanded roles in their junior and senior years. That's impressive.
Yeah, they both, Nakia's had double-digit rebounds in two or three of the games, and same with Claire. They've been doing a good job on the board. Yeah, they keep doing that, but they're adding the scoring to their role now, too.
Teak, I was talking about Vanessa Compton during the Auburn broadcast. I love players like Vanessa. She's been on the varsity roster here pretty much her entire high school career, it seems, but there wasn't a lot of minutes for her. But she stuck with the program. I'm sure she was very critical to what you guys were doing in practice. And now to see in her senior year to step into a starting role and contribute like she is, that is what high school sports is about to me.
Yeah, she kind of bided her time and worked and did a good job at the JV level and in practice. She would be somebody that our when she was a sophomore and we had Sammy and those guys would have to guard. And last year, with Shelby Hooley coming back out last year, she just kept working and kept working, and now she's in the starting lineup as our point guard. And yeah, against Auburn, she had 7 assists the other night. She did a real nice job for us.
And, you know, looking at your team, we talked about you've been a guard team for a long time, and sure, you're more focused on the inside now with Claire and Nakia, but you've still got some young talent here, Lainey Rupert and the likes, that they're going to have some good quality time in a Topper uniform.
Yeah, Lainey got a lot of playing time last year as a freshman, coming off the bench as a guard. Last night, she had a great game last night. She ended up with 19 and had 3 threes for us last night, shot the ball well. She's going to be a key for us this year as well moving forward. Haley Major, another perimeter player. We got a nice mix of inside and outside players with guards, and and post players. So I'm hoping as we go along, we're going to be pretty tough to guard.
What's the, I guess, the mentality, or not necessarily the approach, knowing that there's no postseason this year? So obviously, you know, you spend the regular season trying to gear up to be playing your best basketball come at regional time, which would normally be about right now. So what are you doing this year knowing that there's no postseason? You know exactly when your last game is going to be.
Yeah, we're just trying to stress every game is important. We're not trying to lead up to anything. There's no tournaments. I mean, we have conference, so conference is something that is going to be very important to us. But I think the seniors to have a good year going out, we've got six of them this year, and without the postseason, it's really kind of to focus on try to make sure that they leave on a very positive note with basketball season. That I mean, it's going to be memorable.
Yeah.
But hopefully in a positive way, too, with a good season.
And as I look at the girls' side of the South Central, fantastic once again, but Hillsborough, Southwestern, Pena, at least to me, seem to be the three teams that would have the best shot at the conference title. And you get both of them coming up next week, Pena Monday, Southwestern Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, last year, you think about it, the conference, we had a four-way tie at the top. And a lot of those teams didn't really lose a lot of players, and I think you have to throw Gillespie in the mix, too.
Yes.
I think they're a very good team. They've got a very senior-dominated team. So, yeah, it's a tough conference to come out with success in, and there's going to be a lot of good games night in and night out.
And, Teague, we were talking, I guess it was at Rochester, the oddities of this season, and unfortunately for you, your son Jace, in his senior year, but with the way the schedules work out, the boys and girls playing basically on the same nights all year, you're not going to get the opportunity to watch your son in his senior year like you normally would.
No, that whenever the schedule first came out, I sat there and I just kind of was kind of angry.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that kind of stinks. But then I kind of got thinking about it, and I was like, well, at least he's playing basketball. I'll be able to watch it. Maybe not live stream, but I'll be able to watch it whenever I get home and tabulate. So I'm going to be watching more basketball this year than I probably ever have between our games and his games and stuff like that. But it is kind of strange, and it there's three games that we don't play at the same time. So I'm going to try to see if I can sneak into those games and see him a few times and stuff. But it's just the oddity of what we're having to deal with this year.
And, I mean, I've tried to put myself in the shoes of these senior kids and think about back to my senior year and what this would have been like and what I would have thought. And quite frankly, I don't know what I would have thought. I know what I would have thought as a 39-year-old thinking what I would have thought as a 17- or an 18-year-old, but I have no idea what a 17- or an 18-year-old kid is actually thinking as this is going on.
Yeah, I know. Jace, I kind of joked around a little bit after the announcement that we're going to have seasons and stuff, and then practice started, it seemed like everybody was in a little bit better mood around our household. There were times Jay seemed like he was a little bit grouchy, and there's times I know that I came across as a little bit grouchy, but we just didn't have that competitive outlet that we're normal to having. And I think with the seniors at least getting that now, even though it's going to be short in season, I think a lot of people are grateful and didn't realize how much you'd miss it whenever you didn't have it.
That is so true. Brett Teakin, thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir, and big week for the Toppers next week. Best of luck.
Thank you.
That is Brett Teakin with Hillsborough, as the Toppers will host Pena on Monday, and then they'll be at Southwestern on Wednesday. We'll have that Southwestern-Hillsborough game live on the radio Wednesday. That will be varsity only, tipping at 5:30 on Wednesday from Piasaw. And you can always find our broadcast schedule, WSMIRadio.com. I'm going week by week here, David, with the broadcast schedule, just with so many unknowns. So we've got the schedule out through the 20th of February.
Well, and of course, the Cardinals have already changed, not just the Cardinals, but Major League Baseball has already changed the spring training schedule. So that's just another thing to factor in.
That's right. Yeah, the first Cardinals spring training game will now be Sunday, February 28th. It was originally going to be Saturday, February 27th, but now it'll be the 28th. And it's going to be weird, David. They're going to play, I think, 8 of the 24 games are going to be night games. And they don't.
Spring games?
Yes. Mm. And they don't necessarily play every Saturday and Sunday.
Well, that's interesting.
Like normal.
Are they going to play nobody but the Marlins this year?
No, they're playing only the teams on the East Coast of Florida. So the Marlins, the Mets, the Nationals, and the Astros.
That's about right.
Which, I mean, that's about all they ever play anyway.
Yeah.
You play the Marlins 25 times.
Yeah.
Play the Astros, you know, 10 times, whatever. You play the Mets all the time, the Nationals. So it is what it is.
It's true. It just makes me laugh. Because it's like you look up, and there they're playing the Marlins.
There they are.
And they always struggle in the regular season against the Marlins, and I think that might be why.
Well, I've always thought that very thing, David, that the Cardinals have had a distinct advantage in the Central Division because they're the only team in that division that's in Florida.
Yeah.
Everybody else is in Arizona. So, like, these guys, the other teams, they never see the Cardinals' prospects
right
in spring training. I think that's been a big advantage
for
the Cardinals over the years.
Absolutely. The unfamiliarity definitely benefits the Cardinals, especially with the pitching, because they always do well with their young pitchers that come up, and nobody else seems to know how to counter those guys.
Oh, that's exactly right. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Gillespie Girls coach Kevin Gray when Sports Saturday rolls on.
Let's go down on the list of our cancellations thus far. Just one for a couple for today, I should say. The Greenville Livestock Auctions breeding stock sale at the Greenville Livestock Auction is postponed. I apologize for that. So the Greenville Livestock Auction, it's not funny, but my goodness. The Greenville Livestock Auction breeding stock sale for today has been postponed, rescheduled for Saturday, February 27th. I don't know how I'm going to get through the rest of this list of cancellations. I can't stop laughing. We are back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
That was funny, David. That was funny.
I quick glance at the computer, and
what was
actually breeding stock turned into something else.
Yeah, that can happen. Hey, it could have been worse.
I guess.
Yeah. You didn't say one of George Carlin's nasty words.
It's true. It's not an inappropriate word.
No. So. Just a funny word put in that context.
So if you're looking for the Greenville Livestock Auction breeding stock sale, that has been postponed.
There it is.
There.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, David. You can always
I eventually got it out.
Yeah, you got it eventually. WSMIRadio.com. Click on cancellations for the complete list. Hey, just got a note here from Dave Kane. Somber. Aiden Gonelson's older brother, Yavuz, he passed away. Now, he lived in Springfield. He was involved in soccer locally as well. And according to Dave, he was instrumental in helping bring Aiden to the States from Turkey. So condolences out to the Gonelson family on the passing of Yavuz. And, you know, Aiden Gonelson, that cat, he is a cool, cool customer. He's a fun guy to talk with, you know, soccer, whatever. He has a very interesting perspective, and he's always fun to talk to. So we send our condolences out to the Gonelson family here this morning. You heard David mention the North Mac Southwestern basketball game. That has been canceled for today, so we will not have a broadcast on the radio this afternoon. Coming up on Monday night, we will have girls basketball with Lincolnwood at Nokomis. That broadcast will be live at around 7:30 on FM 106. For our broadcast schedule next week, you can go to the website, WSMIRadio.com. Happy to be joined on the phone right now by Gillespie Miners head coach Kevin Gray. And Kevin, great to talk to you. How you doing today?
Well, joy to talk to you, Tim. That means there's basketball being played.
That means there's basketball being played, and I don't know about you, but I did not think we would get to this point. Even just a couple days before the official announcement came down, I did not have a good feeling.
Ditto. Yeah, I was pretty saddened by the situation. I was hoping that, you know, that we'd gotten an opportunity to play sooner than this, but it was pretty dire at that time.
And your team, Kevin, your group is the type of group that I feel for most during this COVID season, because you have so many seniors that have put so much into the program over the years, and looking forward to a special senior year, they get to play, but it's just not the same. How are your seniors doing with this?
Yeah, they're disappointed. However, you know, they're looking at now they've got this opportunity. The attitudes have been fantastic, Tim. They're appreciative. You know, they're bonding. You know, as a unit, I feel that The seniors have shown great leadership to the freshmen. They're helping them out. They're talking with them. They just feel like, you know, they've got this second opportunity that it looked like they weren't going to have, and we're approaching it one day at a time, being very appreciative to get in the gym each and every day, try to take advantage of it, and it is what it is.
And the beauty of your team, Kevin, is you can't just key on one of your girls. You have about as balanced of an attack that a quality team like yours can have.
We do. I've been playing nine girls. Unfortunately, Shelby Taylor and sophomore Emily Schoen, who's probably our most improved player, missed the first two games. And then Shelby rolled her ankle the first game back against Calhoun. Tried to go a little bit last night against Jerseyville, just couldn't go. But, yeah, I feel like we've got nine girls. I've been playing sophomore Reagan Busman a little bit as a guard. But I've got, nine girls that can put on the floor. Six, seven, eight of them are capable of scoring double digits on any given night. Of course, there's a couple of them that are going to be more consistent. But, yeah, I mean, Grace Bertolino, I mean, she's a great shooter, unlimited range. Michaela Hayes is playing really well at the beginning of the season. Best she's played. Keaton Link, she's a multidimensional player, capable of going off for 20 on a night. And once we get Shelby back healthy and get some legs under, she's just a playmaker, makes things happen. And Sydney Byers, the center in the middle, she like for her to score a little bit more, but you know, she's a great passer, a good defensive rebounder. And last night, Tim, it's Jerseyville there against a quality opponent. We got 18 points from our bench. Madison Emeyer scored 10 off the bench. She's playing much better the last couple games. And sophomore Emily Schoen had 8 in the second half. So, you know, our offense is improving, but, you know, it's just a different season. I mean, you're just trying to cram as much as you can in a short period of time.
Talking with Kevin Gray, Gillespie Girls head basketball coach, and you might not necessarily want to answer this question. If you don't, that's fine. Balanced attack is great, but when you get down to the end of a game and you got to have a bucket to get the W, do you have one girl that you want to take that shot, or is that a situation where it just depends on the game and who has the hot hand?
I think it's going to depend on the game with us. There's a couple of girls I would like and would prefer to be taking that shot. Mm-hmm. But it's going to also depend on the matchup, too.
And, I mean, that's what coaching comes down to, isn't it? No matter if it's boys or girls, high school or college, you can't be rigid. You can't say, this is what we're going to do no matter what. If you don't adapt in the game and on the fly, it's going to be rough.
Yep. That's true, Tim.
The South Central Conference on the girls' side stacked once again, and I had a terrible oversight. I'll smack myself in the face. I did not mention Gillespie when I was talking about the potential winners of the South Central. I said Hillsborough, I said Southwestern, I said Pena, and Brett Deacon said, don't forget about Gillespie. And I said, you're right. That is my mistake. So as you look at your South Central schedule here, how do you see it shaking out? What do you see?
I see a lot of tough games. I don't think there's a clear-cut favorite. There's going to be some games that are decided on the last possessions, and whoever wins again the conference is going to be very deserving of, because a lot of balance.
Kevin Gray, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, and best of luck to you and the Miners on this COVID sprint.
Yeah, good talking to you again, Tim. Good luck.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. And we're going to have the Carlinville-Gillespie game. I think that's on the 19th. I think that's always a good battle when the Cavaliers and Miners get together.
I'm okay.
Oh, you're all right now?
Yeah, maybe. Let's just move on.
It happens, David. It happens.
You know, I know.
You know what Terry Tote used to always tell me when I would do something like that on the radio? I'd be kicking myself and just so agitated, he would say, Tim, you haven't done anything. that I haven't done over the last 40 years. That always made me feel better.
I'm not going to sit here
and say I've ever did exactly what you did, but I've done similar things, David. It happens.
I'm not necessarily upset that it happened because, yeah, it's just funny.
It happens.
But, yeah, I can't stop laughing.
No.
Because I can't stop thinking about it.
I have a feeling, David, there's a lot of people just kind of laughing right now. And that's okay.
Nobody's taking the rest of the show seriously.
That's why we're here, David. We're here to entertain the people.
And should we take the show seriously anyway?
You provided classic entertainment here on an otherwise just abysmal day.
Yeah.
You know, it's snowy. It's like 0 degrees. Games getting canceled. But at least you entertained us.
Yes.
Are you not entertained?
Yes. We'll go back and find that in the archives.
Oh, yes, we will. I might have to get that on a hot button page.
I don't know how it would fit, naturally.
Oh, we'll get it on.
Yeah. It'd be part of our annual or our weekly mistake segment.
There you go. That's a big segment. That'll take up like the whole show.
Yep. You know, one of these days when we want to be off on a Saturday, we'll just play a complete hour of our mistakes.
We could have a whole series dedicated to that. Hey, the Illini survived last night, and that felt like a danger game going in, David, just because, you know, you geared up to play Michigan the night before. You knew that wasn't going to happen, so you get this game with Nebraska moved up, and Iota Sumu, he's on your team. That's all you need to say.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a difference maker. I mean, they go as he goes. It's been like that since last year. Had a good freshman season, too, obviously, but last year's when he really stepped into that leadership role, even as a sophomore. Yeah, they're playing good basketball. They've got a tough stretch to end the season, too, but, I mean, they're one of the teams that has a chance to win it all.
Oh, absolutely. And Io had said, you know, when he came to Illinois, that he wanted to leave his mark on the Illini program. He wanted to get Illinois back to national prominence. He, my gosh, has he done that. And with the year that he has put together this year, I mean, he has really cemented his legacy at Illinois. He's going to go down as one of the greatest players that the program has ever had. Now, that may not have been the case had he gone pro after last year. He would have been remembered as a very good player. But to come back for his junior year and to do what he's done, I mean, he's going to be in the running for National Player of the Year. He's going to be a first-team All-American. There's no question about that. So he has accomplished most of all what he wanted to do. He just got to bring the national championship home, then he will have done everything.
You're still talking about Io? Sorry, I had a phone call. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he had really almost nothing else. I mean, yeah, the national championship wasn't there, but he almost had nothing else to accomplish coming into this year. Or nothing to prove, I guess, is more appropriate to say.
When he's on the floor, he looks like an NBA player.
He does.
You know, like, he's just better than everybody else that he's played against this year. We'll have the Brad Underwood Show, 7 o'clock Monday night. On the Ox, you can find our broadcast schedule always at WSMIRadio.com along with cancellations. For David Jenkins, I am Tim Mai. Sports Saturday is done on WSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville. Stay safe today across Mid-Illinois.